We're back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. It's winter, and many of us love a good, hearty dish for supper. In this episode of Family Recipes, Linda Gross shares her mother's recipe for German pork ribs and sauerkraut with contributor Lucian Jung. Served over boiled or mashed potatoes, the tender ribs and vegetables are seasoned with bay leaves, juniper berries, and caraway seeds. It's a classic home-cooked meal that many Milwaukeeans may fondly recall from childhood.
Back in the day, and I'm talking the 60s and early 70s, the taverns in Milwaukee were more like community centers. And on Sundays, maybe once a month after church, you would gather at the local tavern. They would cover up the pool table with plastic. And one of the women, or even the men, if they were good cooks, they would pass around this Nesco cooker and take turns making the main dish of a potluck lunch after church in the tavern. And I know my mom's was always ribs and sauerkraut.
So you remember that from these big potluck meals?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even the taverns in the backyard, they would have a little swing set for the kids. So the kids would go to the tavern, they would go in the backyard and play. When it was time to eat, you know, their parents would make up a dish for them. You would have your big potluck lunch, and about 2 o'clock, you would head home and watch a Packers game.
This does sound so Milwaukee.
So Milwaukee. It's very Milwaukee, and it's definitely what I remember. So the easiest thing to do would have been to just buy some bone-in country ribs. By the way, you should have bone in the meat.
Why the bone? It sounds like it makes it a little more complicated.
It gives it a much richer and more robust taste. The bone actually has flavor. And the other thing you'll notice is that there is some fat on here as well, because fat is what's used to transfer the flavor. That's where the juniper berries and the bay leaves and the caraway seeds are going to the flavor molecules are going to kind of cling to that fat.
So now, are pork ribs tender right away, or is this something that has to braise for a long time?
Yeah, it has to braise for a long time, and these will really break down and actually fall off the bone. And that's kind of the sauerkraut dish, is you're going to have a mix of meat and the sauerkraut and some of the vegetables that have been used to put together the stew, this braised stew.
So your mother was born and raised in Germany.
Yeah, in Mecklenburg-Pomeran. She was born in Parchim and escaped from Koszalin, which is now Koszalin in Poland, in 1949. And then she worked for the American Hospital in Heidelberg, got her bachelor's in chemistry and was a medical technologist, worked for the Army Hospital. And that's how she met my dad. He was in the Army and had malaria from Korea, and they shipped him to Heidelberg to recuperate.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a lot, right? Good history. But it's one of those things, though, food, because my mom did almost starve to death during World War II, food was always really important to her, and she was kind of a food hoarder. But she was also one of the most talented, amazing cooks. She could just take whatever was in season, mix it together, and just make a delicious, full, nutritious meal on the spot.
Do you remember the last time she made this for you?
The last time she made this was probably a year before she passed. She passed away when she was 90, a little shy of 91.
Wow.
Yeah. And even almost to the end, she was still cooking. She had to stop cooking when she went on oxygen all the time, because she only did gas cooking, by the way, also. So, yeah. But she always was a wonderful cook. And that's kind of how she made friends and introduced people. And she was always interested in new recipes, too. So being a military wife and being married to someone in the military, she would meet wives from Korea, from Japan, from the South, from other regions of the U.S. that she had never lived before. My dad's favorite was spaghetti and meatballs. And I fluctuated between the Hungarian goulash and sauerkraut.
So even as a kid, you liked sauerkraut?
I did. Maybe because it wasn't that sour straight out of the can. Like I said, it's a savory dish. It's got meat, it's got vegetables. And when you mix it with mashed potatoes, how can you go wrong?
I think it's just nowadays you think about kids wanting McDonald's and all that stuff.
Well, you know, being a traditional German as well, the girls in the family needed to know how to cook and how to crochet, how to sew on a button and do some just minimal repairs. So because you had to take care of your man. I mean, you know, that was the old school stuff, right?
So as a kid, your mom was teaching you how to cook.
Oh, yes. I started cooking when I was 8.
Do you remember the first time you made this for your mom?
Yes, I do. And she really enjoyed it. She,
Were you nervous actually serving it to her?
Oh, absolutely. Because my mom was really honest. So if there was something wrong with the dish, she would tell me. And so the first time I made the sauerkraut was really good. I think I made it another time after that and kind of rushed it a little bit, and she could tell and let me know what I did wrong. So she always kept me honest and kept me to a very high standard when it came to cooking, because she had a reputation to uphold. and I was an only child, so.
So no child of hers was going to serve inedible sauerkraut.
Absolutely. Actually, any dish that I made. And but it rubbed off. I did the same kind of tricks with my daughter, maybe not as harsh as my mom, but she is a wonderful cook as well in her own right. So we've kind of passed along that cooking tradition and that love of cooking and food.
Well, there is something about that older generation. They had, there's just, it's different. How would you say that even your daughter's different from your mother?
Actually, my daughter is more like my mom than I'm like my mom.
Really?
My daughter is definitely more assertive, but I think it comes from self-confidence, which my mom had as well. I mean, but my mom had it for a different reason. She was a survivor. She lost her entire family during World War II. She was a true orphan. Her brothers, her mother, her father, her grandparents were all killed during the war. She had nobody. At 24 years old, when the American GIs found her, she was 86 pounds. So her strength and her assertiveness and, you know, not taking guff from anyone and doing the right thing came from her experiences. Where I think now, for my daughter and her strength, it just comes from a cultural shift that says it's okay for girls to be strong. It's okay for women to be strong and smart and have opinions and share those opinions.
When it comes to the things that your mother went through in her life, when you heard some of the stories that she would tell you, was it real for you, or did it take time for it to kind of sink in?
Well, of course, when I was younger, didn't quite understand. But the older you get and the more experiences that you have and the more people that you meet, actually, I think the experiences that she had then are more relevant now than they ever were before.
How so?
Talking about just migrants and immigrants and coming from war-torn countries and trying to find a safe place and a welcoming place. You have to remember, my mom came to the U.S. in 1957. And the war was still very fresh in people's minds. And here's a German, you know, coming. So she actually had to go through some of those prejudices. And, you know, they didn't understand that. I went through the same thing that your people went through in this war. All of us suffered. So I think definitely she had more compassion, too. And I think she did that through her food. She would cook big meals. She didn't know how to cook a small meal for one or two. She would cook a big meal, and she would invite over neighbors. Come on over. I made goulash. Here she would pack up a dish and send them home with it. So you don't have to cook dinner tomorrow. So that was her way of showing kindness and compassion to people, was she cooked for them. Okay, so we have browned the salt and peppered and browned the ribs, and now I'm going to put them in the stew pot.
Okay, so I see you have some bay leaves set out here.
I have bay leaves, I have some caraway seeds, some juniper berries, but first I'm going to start with the vegetables.
Do you mind if, can I just smell the juniper berries?
Oh.
Mm-hmm,
it smells like gin.
It smells like a absolutely delicious gin and tonic. But with a slight peppery note to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to
do a medium onion. And I'm going to just put those on top of the browned ribs that are in the stew pot. And next is going to be some garlic. Once you get the browning of the ribs done, this is actually a pretty simple recipe. It's just some chopping and vegetables and...
Now this is a tomato.
Yes, this is a half of a large tomato. And I'm just going to rough chop this. And then the final vegetable is not a vegetable, it's a fruit. It's a Granny Smith apple.
Although this is interesting.
And this adds sweetness and a different kind of tartness to the sauerkraut. And of course it goes well with pork.
And it's
now the sauerkraut.
Okay, now it's time for the sauerkraut.
Right. The European sauerkraut in a jar, which is kind of what I like.
Well, how is European sauerkraut different from just regular sauerkraut?
It's not quite as sour. It's more of a salty brine, and they actually do let it ferment for a while and then toss that brine and then pickle it in the jars. So it doesn't have that really harsh, overpowering vinegar taste. And so just like you would open a can of beans and kind of rinse the liquid that they're stored in, that's what I'm doing here with the sauerkraut. And that looks pretty good. So now we're going to take the sauerkraut and we're just going to dump it in the pot on top of everything else.
Yeah, I mean, so you've layered in, you've got the first layer are the browned pork ribs, and then you added the onion sliced, and then the garlic, and the tomato, and the apple, and now a jar of sauerkraut.
A big jar. It's a 3-pound-plus jar of sauerkraut, and I'm going to evenly distribute this through. And now I'm going to put in those spices and some broth. I had some homemade beef broth that I had frozen. I didn't have enough for the whole pot, so I'm supplementing it with some granulated beef broth that I had on hand. It's a German brand.
Okay, so to the pot, you're going to add about six cups of beef broth.
Yeah, and then I'm going to add the spices and kind of tuck those in there. So it all depends on the size of your bay leaves. I usually do 3 large ones, but I only have medium size, so I'm doing about 5 bay leaves. And now I'm going to add about 2 tablespoons of juniper berries. These will be free-floating in the sauerkraut, but do not eat them.
Yeah, don't eat the juniper berries.
No, don't eat the juniper berries. We just kind of pick them off to the side.
And now
last but not least is caraway seed. And now we're just going to cover it and let it simmer for about 2 hours.
Wonderful. Okay, so the pork ribs have been stewing for several hours now. And how do we serve this? Do we just serve this in a bowl?
You serve it with potatoes, either boiled potatoes that you can just fork mash yourself, or I just happen to have some mashed potatoes that I made, so we're going to have our sauerkraut with our mashed potatoes. As you can see, the meat kind of falls apart.
Yeah, it's so tender.
Yeah, and again, don't eat the juniper berries or the bay leaves. Don't eat the bay leaves either. Just remember to do meat and sauerkraut and potato all together, like in one bite.
Okay, it's like the perfect bite?
Exactly.
Okay, so meat and potato and sauerkraut.
Careful, it's hot.
Oh my gosh. The potatoes are creamy. The sauerkraut is not tart.
No, not at all. It's kind of got a savory flavor, like a cabbagey flavor, but it maintains its integrity. It's still got some texture to it.
It's not salty.
No, it's not salty, and it shouldn't be salty. It shouldn't be vinegary. So I think it's a little bit hearty, but it's got the creamy potatoes. So it's a variety of textures that kind of all work together. And for me, it's the memory of my mom and my culture. And, you know, yeah, this is what I grew up with. This is kind of my home dish.
Contributor Lucian Jung produces our family recipe series. You can find previous episodes at wuwm.com.